once again for this opportunity, and truly, truly, it's great and wonderful to know that He is our God, you know. But I entitled this lesson, our message, to walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith and not by sight. Turn me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we'll read verse 2. Joshua 1:2, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Turn me to chapter 3, and we'll read about that account. Chapter 3, we'll read verse 1. First, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Down to verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do a wonder among you, will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know, that the living God is among you. Hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water, or in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand a heap, straight up and down. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents, to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood in rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people passed clean over Jordan. This is the time of the year that people make resolutions. And I looked up that word resolute, coming from or characterized by determination. And hopefully this year will be a blessing unto us, that we can learn more and more to walk by faith and not by sight. But as we read there, but I first want to start, I remember after I was first saved, I felt a peace, a happiness, and a joy, and a satisfaction that I had never felt before. I draw a picture in my mind. It draws a picture in my mind and in my heart, like dwelling in the garden with him. I didn't want to leave. I really didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave that place. I remember I begged and pleaded with the Lord to take me home for 6 to 8 weeks. He was very patient with me, but I knew in my heart when the Lord said, enough is enough. And in Luke 9:38 and 39, I'll just read quickly for time's sake. We see today who was the winner of that conversation back then. I'm still here, you know. The Lord always wins. We see today who was that winner. But in Luke 9:38 and 39, the man of Gadara wanted to enter into the ship with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away. Jesus told him, "Return to thine own house and show what great things God hath done to thee." God had some Jordans for him to cross. A new beginning. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It all starts with a new beginning. We'll read in 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation." Some of the side effects already take place, as Paul said. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, this is the will, or this is what will happen in the lives of those new creatures. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, not just in word, but in our manner of conversation, what we say and what we do. Because God continually wants to perform wonders in our lives." He continually wants to perform wonders in our life. He wants us to keep crossing Jordans. In 2 Corinthians 3:2-5, Paul describes how that happens in the life of a child of God. He says in verse 2, Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Known and read of all men. "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink," but this is how, "but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." In verse 17, that same chapter, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." As we heard Brother Dan Gordon say several times in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." In Ephesians 1:19, Paul declares, before he shows the Ephesian church the Jordans that God would have them to cross, Paul declares in Ephesians 1:19, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Well, we have to walk by faith and not by sight in order to see that, in order to see the exceeding greatness of our God. I heard a message in 2007 here at the Bible conference. It was Brother Clyde Hancock preached a message in 2007 that God used to begin to motivate me to become more daring instead of living a life of deliberation. That in the title of his message was "The Discipline of Daring or Deliberation." And I looked at that word in the dictionary, and it says to weigh well in one's mind. When we face the Jordans, a lot of times that's what we do. To consider, to consult, or to debate, or to be cautious, or discreet. The Jordans God brings into our lives because they are his. They are his Jordans. But the Jordans that he brings into the lives of his people, they are but situations or circumstances that we are incapable of overcoming on our own. See, as Joshua said in 3 verse 5, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." That's what he wants to keep doing in our lives. He wants to keep manifesting himself through the lives of his people. Joshua 3:10, "Hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, by crossing those Jordans." They are but situations and circumstances that we are incapable of overcoming on our own. When Brother Hancock described what it means to be deliberate, I said, in my heart, that's me. That's what I lived. all life, ever since I was been born again and saved and been a member of Home Baptist Church. I've done that a whole lot more than stepping out in faith, I can tell you that. He gave a picture of the Jordan River, Brother Clyde did. Above the brink, raging, overflowing, muddy and deep. It was God's will for them to cross that Jordan. What does it mean to be deliberate? Brother Hancock said, pondering. Looking at that giant or Jordan at every angle. Thinking with our sinful fleshly minds, since God miraculously saved me by his grace, he will make an easier way for me to get across. Maybe God will build a bridge. Maybe God will build a bridge, he said. Or send a boat to take me across. Joshua and Israel see coming down the Jordan, the Delta Queen. That's what he said. I got a kick out of that. But it don't work that way. Just like he said, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. As a father loveth his children, even so our Heavenly Father loveth us. Parents want their children not to live in fear, but to persevere. God is the same way with us, his people. That's why he continually guides us to face these Jordans. He don't want us to live in fear, but to persevere. Why these Jordans and giants in our lives? So we'll learn to trust him more. It will build up your confidence more. He wants us to know him more also. And he wants us to know that nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. Again, Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hereby shall you know that the living God is among you. In Hebrews 12:12 declares rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. I didn't write that down. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, then will lead you to be continuing instant in prayer. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1 declares, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now present tense, faith is a supernatural substance. It is. It's supernatural that God brings it into the lives of his people. Since faith is supernatural, that means that faith is present tense, a gift of God. We read in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And in Romans 10:17 declares, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, present tense, faith is how we spiritually persevere. Faith is how we spiritually persevere. How do we spiritually persevere? 2 Corinthians 5:7, to walk by faith and not by sight. In Luke 17:5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Is that what we really want? Well, sometimes God will have to bring Jordans in our lives in order for that faith to increase. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul declared of the church of Thessalonica that their faith was growing exceedingly growing. That means our faith can grow also. James 1, 2, and 3 declares, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's hard to do. In 2008, I got bit by a snake in my tonsil. And it's hard for me to count it all joy, you know, when having to deal with that. It is. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, to step out in faith. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. Why is it important that our faith is tried? As we read, or as I told you in Romans 12:12 declares, rejoicing in hope. And that word hope means confidently expecting. Confident expectation. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope, or the confidence, or the faith that the Lord is going to work all things together for our good. He's going to work all things together for our good. But we have to step out in faith first. When our confidence in the Lord is strong, that will help us to be patient in tribulation. It does help. It does. I mean, I'm a lot better handle it now than I did back then. That will help us to be instant in prayer also. See how the three work together. No confident expectation or faith leads to no patience in tribulation, which leads to no continuing instant in prayer. See, if our faith is never tried, we will never learn to be patient in tribulation. Then we will never turn our problems over to the Lord, like Brother Clyde had. Clyde Hancock said, we'll sit there and ponder and look at it at every angle. We'll never turn our problems over to the Lord. Our confidence or faith in every circumstance or in every decision will either be in our own understanding or the world's, or we'll try to handle the problems, decisions, or circumstances on our own. Jeremiah 17:5 declares, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The side effects faith will produce. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read about the heroes of faith. They had the same faith that we have also. The side effects faith will produce. First of all, I'll read in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, of the faith he gave us. He's the author of it and he's the finisher of it. Since Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, doesn't it make sense that we should keep our eyes on him? I have so many problems. When a hard problem comes up, why don't I just keep my eyes on him? You know, he's the one who can help me through it. But a lot of times I take my eyes off him. Through faith we can see the race that is set before us, and through faith we can patiently run this race that is set before us. Through faith we can lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. The nature and the fruits of faith are this supernatural substance. We read in Hebrews 11:2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So can we. So can we through faith. In verse 3, through faith we can understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Through faith we can understand the Lord more. That is his ways and his thoughts. In verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith we can offer unto God things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 5 and 6, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, we can have a good testimony also, and walk with God, and know that without faith it's impossible to please him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, we can see God's warning signs also of things not seen as yet. Verses 8 through 10, we'll read. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, we can be obedient to God's will for us also. Faith will give you the ability to follow him. Verse 11 and 12, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Faith will give you the ability to judge the Lord faithful with his promises. Verses 13 through 16, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Through faith, we can see God's promises afar off, and we can be persuaded of them, as Brother Dean says, to help us keep on keeping on. and through faith embrace them. Embrace them. Verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. When our faith is tested and tried, we can do through faith what God tells us to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't make sense, believing that nothing is impossible with God. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, we can see the future also. We can see the future. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, we can refuse worldly success by faith. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, how? As seeing him who is invisible. In closing, this wasn't a very long one message, but in 2010, what are some of the Jordans that God will have us to cross? What are some of the Jordans God will have us to cross? Because again, remember, the Jordans are his. They belong to him. And God, because he loves us, he's going to keep bringing those Jordans in our lives. What are some of the Jordans God will bring us to or cause us to face? The Jordans will keep coming, I promise you. Personal application, I want to use myself. I think of the Jordan I've had to face all my life, the stammering tongue. I grew up stuttering all my life as a young kid. I hardly had any friends. I hardly had any friends at all because I couldn't talk. The only friends I had was the friends who liked me because I couldn't talk. But that's the Jordan that I had to face all my life, the stammering tongue. God brought me face to face right after I was saved. He didn't waste no time right after I was saved. Brother Larry asked me, is it all right to call on you to pray? How can I say no? Here God took and brought me across the Jordan of my just condemnation, delivered me. How can I say no to him? You know, I stepped out there. Brother Titus asked me maybe a year or 2 years later to share my testimony. Maybe a couple years later, at that time, we were having a person doing devotions for 2 years. Brother Brad here made a motion for me to do the devotion for 2 years. All I did was deliberate. And it seems the more I deliberate it, the bigger the Jordan got. That's what happens. When we try to run away from it, it just keeps getting bigger. Brother Gordon then asked me as soon as he came, or he asked all the men to share our testimonies. I agreed at first. 2 weeks later, then I deliberated. Then Brother Larry asked me to teach the class downstairs. Then about a week later, Brother Gordon asked me, and I says, me? Are you sure, me? Brother Gordon then tells me, Dennis, I've been doing this for 35 years. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Later on that day, I agreed, and I don't regret stepping out in faith. It's been such a blessing for me. It was such a blessing for me. It made a difference in my life. That stammering tongue is gone. I'm not afraid of it no more. That stammering tongue, that Jordan was crossed. It's done. It's over. It's finished. It's gone. I got to see God perform a wondrous thing. That's exactly what happened. All it is a miracle. That's all it is, a miracle. Now God has caused me to be able to do a devotion or to fill in for the pastor while he's away. That's amazing. If somebody would have told me 15 years ago that I would even be saved in a member of a Baptist church, I would have said, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. And then to be up here giving a lesson, it's amazing. It's nothing but a miracle. I remember the Jordan called the maintenance of the lawn outside. The maintenance was, I was always afraid of or trying to avoid it or trying not to think about it. But God kept bringing face bringing me face to face with it till he led me across. I'm not afraid of that lawn no more. I ain't afraid of it. What other Jordans will God have us to cross in 2010? Maybe the Jordan's a faithful Bible study. Maybe the Jordan's of faithful church attendance or prayer. Maybe the Jordan's of restoration, repentance, or getting things right between you and the Lord. It can happen. It can happen anytime. But he'll be the one to lead you across that Jordan. He'll be the one to lead you across. And if he's leading you, just follow him. Maybe the Jordan of sharing our testimony with a lost friend, neighbor, or a family member. Maybe we will be blessed to see God lead someone across the Jordan of just eternal condemnation. That is to see a soul saved. Maybe the Lord will lead us across the Jordans of sickness, pestilence, and disease. I like to think of Brother Brad dealing with the leper. Who knows? You may be halfway across that Jordan now. Or you may be right at the end. But the Lord is leading you across it. So maybe the Lord will lead us across the Jordans of sickness, pestilence, or disease. The last 2 years I've been sick more than I ever been. But I can tell you with confidence, one day I will cross that Jordan. One day, if not in this life or in the life to come. I pray that God by his grace will cause me to keep being more daring. Just to be daring. I mean, after that message of Brother Clyde Hancock preached there in 2007, I went home and I thought in my mind, in my heart, what do I got to lose? What do I got to lose? Just step out. Who cares? Whatever happens is going to happen. But it's been a blessing ever since. And now the Lord just keeps leading me to more. After a while, it gets to be contagious, you know, and then you just want to keep on doing it more and more, you know. So who knows what's next in 2010, Brother Tim?